humans, thanks to Squarespace for supporting today's show. With the help of Squarespace, you got to get what you got to get going. You're getting by on getting by. That's my stock in trade. Living day to day. That's Jerry Jeff Walker talking about you got to do what you want to do and get it up for the world to see. Squarespace.com. Enter offer code IMPROV to get 10% off your first purchase plus a free domain.
Improv for Humans, live at the San Francisco Sketch Festival.
Ladies and gentlemen, Improv for Humans.
Oh, welcome to the Improv for Humans with Matty B. That's me. And look, Ian Roberts, Jess McKenna. Is this on? You hear me? Oh, there. Now I hear myself. Did you hear my intro? Ian Roberts, Jess McKenna. Thanks, guys. I'm Matt Besser. Thanks for being here. Let's talk about the pink elephant in the room. Who is going to the protest later? Anybody? All right. Okay. Anybody go to Oakland?
Woo!
A few people. There you go.
I think the pink part of that was extra.
What, that?
Yeah, because I think the pink elephant thing is about being a drunk. And I think
that
the
was
elephant
a play on words. Pink is the power color of the Women's March.
Nice cover.
That was not a cover. That was pure cleverness, people. That was a fucking New Yorker cartoon.
Do you ever do that? Do you ever fill out the empty...
Dude, do you guys know what he's talking about? In the back of New Yorker, I think it started like 10 years ago. Everyone knows the New Yorker cartoons, but they started in the back of it. Is it one or like three of them?
Oh, I thought it was one.
One.
Okay, so one per episode, per issue. They'll not put in the text, and they want you to provide the text for the cartoon. And I did do that from the very, when they started that contest. I did it for weeks on end. Because I was like, I'm going to fucking nail this. Those motherfuckers never.
Do you?
I think I did it for like 6 months.
Do you adjust your comedy to what you think the audience is looking for? Do you think, like, with these, you're going to do it, you got to be smarty pants, or do you have to be political, or I need to be New York-centric, or?
I'm all those things already. I don't know. I think I was just trying to be as funny as possible.
Okay. Yeah, I think Jay is obsessed with trying to get one of those, too.
He actually writes in The New Yorker.
Yes, he's been in The New Yorker.
Okay, all right, so it's down to you two for who's going to be the next cartoonist for The New Yorker. And the way we decided when we come down to our two finalists is by providing a caption.
Makes okay? sense.
So you're going to give us a caption and we draw the cartoon.
We draw the picture.
No, being a cartoonist is both drawing and coming up with the funny, right?
Okay.
So right. We're going to do both. I like your idea.
Okay.
Okay.
So the first one is an elephant, a pink elephant, and he is at an outdoor cafe, and he's calling the waiter over, and he has a gun in his hand. What is the caption?
Waiter, I would like an elephant suit and the man who shot me.
That's really good.
Thank you.
It is? I would like an elephant suit.
The situation is he was poached by a hunter and had his skin peeled off.
That's why he's pink.
So his pink...
organs are showing.
Wow. Maybe you guys should work as a team, because I didn't...
Oh, I thought it was obvious.
Yeah, no, to me, it was a little too obvious. I thought, obviously, we're going to go to elephant suit. We're going to talk about poaching. I know that's a big problem from a lot of our readers.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to imply that I am a bunch of outward organs. Yeah.
You saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
But what's your...
Mine
caption?
Is, more bread, please.
I get it.
Okay, that's good.
In hers, In hers, the elephant was skinned in a pagan ceremony.
Thank you.
So the elephant...
Wait, in both your jokes, this elephant is skinned and has pink organs?
Why else is he pink?
That part is obvious.
Of course he's skinned. It's just, why is he skinned? And that's where the comedy comes. Okay. So in yours, I believe, he no longer wants to be involved with a pagan religion. He wants to be involved with Christianity. So he wants bread that he can bless and so it can be sacramental host.
That's right. The bread of life. Thank you.
Okay. That was... You guys, I don't know if it's excellent, but you both got the same grade, whatever that was. Okay, you ready for the next one?
So in the,
this one, you get a caption. You come with the cartoon.
Oh, this is easy. Easier.
Okay. This one is... when the saints come marching in, I'll be sleeping. When the saints come marching in, I'll be sleeping. What will you draw for that?
Okay, great. So this is going to be, it's father time and baby new year. And
we have those images in every New Yorker, yes.
And the tiger from Life of Pi. And they're sharing a boat, but it's on a dry lake bed.
Oh. What's that to do with I'll be sleeping? Or the saints come marching in?
I mean, well, do you want to take this?
Yeah. Well, Norm, you know...
Did you guys know each other before this?
No.
No, these are just...
It's a pleasure to meet you, though.
You too, likewise.
You're very good at what you do.
Yeah, I'm inspired.
I wish we had money for both of you.
One of the most iconic images of Jesus is his walking across the water to the disciples. So you cleverly drained the Galilean Sea. And... therefore implying that Jesus can't perform his miracle. You have to have miracles to become a saint, which is what's been holding back Mother Teresa. Modern day miracles are difficult. And if you recall, in the story, one of them, Jesus, was sleeping in the boat during a big storm.
Okay, I got lost in there, but I'll trust you. So what's your illustration going to be for when the saints come marching in, I'll be sleeping?
There is an elephant at a cafe.
Wait. Is this the same elephant that I provide you with?
Probably not. The chance of that would be 1 in 1 billion.
All right. So he's not skinned.
He is skinned.
Oh, great. You guys, the skinned elephant image. That has never been in the New Yorker, let me tell you.
Oh. Well, it sounds like we may have the job.
Yeah, I think we cracked it.
And scene, folks. That's how it works. We'll talk about something, and then we do some improv based on it. But that just came from nothing. We want to take it from you. So let's start over here. Let's get a word over here from the audience. Any word at all? Butterfly is what I heard. This guy is not over here. Butterfly. You guys collect butterflies?
I don't collect butterflies, but I recently read about butterflies to my son in a book called... I think it's called How Come or something, and it's good. I'm learning a lot because it's really condensed. It's for kids, so I understand it. And they didn't know until 1976 where all the monarch butterflies went in the winter. And they go to one little square mile of mountainous territory in Mexico. And some guy...
No, that's crazy.
...marched out there into the woods... And the trees are just covered with millions. So the whole forest is orange and black. And that's where they go every day. And that's where they go every year. And then they fly back. But the ones that come back to us aren't those because they die halfway on the return trip and lay eggs. And then the monarchs come back to us.
Wait, say that last part again?
They go there for the winter.
Uh-huh.
And they just hang out and don't move. Just hang out on these trees. All winter, and then they fly back, but they don't get to us. They die on the way, and they lay eggs and die. Lay eggs?
Yeah.
And that I know there's a caterpillar in there somewhere. I just didn't know if there was an egg first. But
I thought butterflies just gently fly out of butterfly vaginas at some point. That'd be beautiful.
No, Dad, I get that there's this forest that's all the butterflies, but... That doesn't answer how come.
Yeah. How come there's no butterflies here? It does. It depends what you're saying the how come is.
Okay.
They don't finish it how come. They just say how come. So you got to then engineer the how come.
But I have new how comes.
Well, let me just tell you the how come that answer.
Okay.
How come there are no butterflies around here in the winter?
Because they all go to that tree place in Mexico.
Boom. That is a how come.
Okay, but how come they do that? Like, what drives them there? What's in their little butterfly hearts? How come? Like, what? How come?
Why do you put on a coat if it's cold outside?
Because it's cold. Because it's to keep warm.
I bet you that's why they go. Mexico's warmer than it's further south.
Okay.
Don't try to tear this book apart. It's a good book.
No, I think it's a good book, but it's a little too condensed because it just leads to more how comes.
Dad, I agree. Like, how about how come that 1 square mile of Mexico?
Yeah.
Why not New Mexico?
New Mexico, I just under the same answer. It's further north. It's not as warm as Mexico.
Okay. You said they lay their eggs halfway on the journey? How come?
Because they get tired.
Right, they're all not going to the same place back. So halfway to one butterfly's journey is not halfway of another butterfly's
journey.
That's
right.
I think they misspoke. On the way. On the way. Whether it is equidistant from the place from which they leave and the place where they arrive, I do not know. But somewhere between there, they lay eggs and die.
Do any monarch butterflies only fly like a mile away from that one? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because there have
to
be monarchs.
You mean die really, really quickly after they leave that little square mile?
Because otherwise there'd be no butterflies in Mexico, and that doesn't seem fair.
Right.
They
like,
all
like
go
there.
There
must be a town like 4 miles away that's like, when are we getting the monarch butterflies?
I think only that little square mile of Mexico, except for a flyover, gets monarch butterflies.
Oh, that's racist.
Yeah, how come?
Not on my part. Blame the monarch butterflies.
Well, okay, Dad. How come the butterflies are racist? How come?
Well, right. I don't know that they're racist. I think the perfect climate they're looking for is it's at a high elevation in Mexico. So it's not as hot as it gets all the time. It's like the Goldilocks.
It's like the Jews. They're up in New York until they retire and they go to Florida.
It is, but I'd keep that one under your hat. It could get us in trouble.
Insane. Humans. All right, this general area, let's get a word.
Parsley.
Parsley?
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder why you thought of that. Did you get some with your buffalo wings out there? Oh, yeah? Tell us. How do you chop it?
You gotta use two-hand technique, so it's not just, like, one hand. You put the other one on the top of the blade.
Oh. Did you even know the phrase two-hand technique before you heard this guy say it? There's a two-hand I would think that's for rookie chefs. They're like, yeah, try the two-hand technique, and you cut your finger off. So you're putting your hand on the blade there.
Top of the blade.
The part that's not the sharp part.
I get it.
But you're still chopping. It's not like, I thought, is there a seesaw motion?
Nice.
Because I've seen seesaw.
Yeah, I forgot that part.
Is that a term, the seesaw?
I think they actually did use the term seesaw.
They did?
Hey, honey?
Uh-huh?
Can we do the two-hand seesaw technique tonight?
Yeah, did you watch another YouTube tutorial?
Yeah. I mean, it is opening up my imagination.
All right.
So I guess what you got to do is put one hand down towards the base, one hand up towards the top, and then you just kind of crank it in opposite directions.
It doesn't hurt.
I don't know. We haven't tried it yet.
Do you want to try it first? I feel like you have
Unfortunately, the video was a close-up of the procedure, and there was no audio, so I don't know if the guy was screaming during this.
Okay. And that you're okay with that?
Some of the other things we've tried have been so wonderful, I'm willing to give it a shot.
Okay.
But it didn't work. The next night, he came back with his buddy, a chef. Yeah, we use the seesaw technique in mostly cutting parsley.
Yeah, because I had complaints about it, so I went and Google searched it, found almost nothing about it as a sexual act.
Well, that's where they got a lot of sex acts get their ideas from chefs.
Yeah. Well, that's why I came to you, because most of the two-hand technique involved.
Right. Well, pull down your pants. No more ado. Let's just look at it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, okay. I see what the problem is here. It's a small blade, which is going
to
make it hard.
Hold on. I was erect when I was seesawed. Right now I'm flaccid.
All right.
The blade is
perfectly average.
Well, this is awkward in front of you and my wife, but just give me a second.
Do you need to go somewhere and preheat the blade?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Can you leave?
Yeah, let me get out of here.
All right, go ahead and get
hard. You're more of the problem than her. But okay.
I was going to say some sexy things.
All right, just
pussy, dick, titties.
You're not helping.
Ass,
you're not helping.
Pussy.
Could you
more
not?
Tits.
Please don't.
What do you want?
I'm just going to manually. I'm not going to do it from. I'm just going to fiddle around down there. I'm not going to try to actually get there with my mind. I'm just going.
All right, hurry up.
Okay,
got to get back to the restaurant.
Just stop talking to me. Just let me get going here. Okay, there you go.
Okay,
there you go. There you go.
Do you guys want lunch?
Yeah, honey, do we still have that good cheese?
Which one?
I don't know. It was the one that was really stinky.
Oh, yeah. Do you want that with some crackers?
Yeah, that. No, that with bread and mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise?
Honey, I'm in the middle. Oh, I've lost it now.
Oh,
come on, don't.
God.
Just bring us whatever. Don't ask questions.
Yeah, and bring a full blade, because there's definitely not one in here.
Hey.
What?
I was,
you brought me over here
I
to teach you this technique.
I said I'm getting there. I said I'm getting there. I wasn't all the way there. Then my wife interrupted me with the cheese talk.
We just cut to an hour later.
There, right now, right
okay,
now,
okay.
right now, right now.
All
hurry
right.
up.
Now grab it. Grab it near the...
Honey, get in here.
Well, I'm
hurry
getting
up.
All the mayonnaise.
Well, don't. Just come on.
Well,
don't.
You said mayonnaise and we
don't
were
Don't have
out.
A discussion with me right now.
Well,
oh, God
I,
damn it.
Forget
it now.
She runs into the room. Her hands are covered in mayonnaise.
Still? This seems like a new technique.
Just go ahead. Do what he said. Do what he says.
All right. Oh, you got mayonnaise over your hand. We never handle a blade with mayonnaise on it.
Oh, should I go back and wash?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be ready when you get back. Oh, come on. This is a pain. Look, just you show me. You're
all
just
right.
here as a...
I'll show you.
Think of it like being a doctor. There's nothing sexual. Just
okay.
show me how it's done, and I'll
I get it.
Pass it on to my wife.
And we cut to a close-up of the chef putting his big, meaty chef hands onto the small Irish penis.
What do you do when you work that you have such calloused hands?
This is a... Shut up!
Really
I'm trying
unenjoyable.
To pretend you're a knife. Knives don't talk.
So when my wife did it, the cranking, it just... It bent because I don't see how it's supposed to work.
You can't bend. You got to be like a blade and see and saw and see.
Ow.
And saw.
It still hurts.
Here, let me put some
There's
parsley
no
in there.
What are you doing?
And see. Yeah, now you're cutting it up. Now you're cutting it up. Now it's working.
But I don't want to grind parsley. I want to reach orgasm.
But yet he came despite resisting. We cut to a week later when they're trying the seesaw method in bed, and he tries to sneak some parsley into her vagina.
What is this?
I thought we could make some pesto.
What?
And scene, folks. Do not try that at home. Who here wants to admit to trying a technique that they learned somewhere else in the bed? I'd like to hear it. You think that's shameful?
No, not shameful. I think it's unlikely you're going to get a volunteer.
But the only thing that would stop them is shame. No.
Has anyone ever had their world opened up by a new partner? I know Matt did.
That's true. I know who he's talking about. It almost makes me blush. Do I want
to
get into
different...
that? I don't think I do.
Nah.
Really, no one has. I know that's not true. There you go, sir.
When I was in high school, I tore out a list of things from a Cosmo magazine. To a girl to try on her boyfriend.
Here, let me tell my listeners. This gentleman, he tore out the list of things from Cosmo. It like shows the list. What was the list?
The best ways to please your lover in
bed. Best ways to please your lover.
And they were, but they were female to male. This is for women, how to... please your male partner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, let me give me all six.
What the gentleman just told us is that it was a thumb pressed against the asshole. Can I ask just a little more specifically, was it at the moment of orgasm or was it just during the sex act to get to orgasm?
No, it was when we could start.
Right from the beginning. Like a start button, just go.
No. I play it like a flute the whole way through. This is when you're in high school, did you say? So are you a virgin at this point? Yeah. He's already getting these. That's like 10th level right there. And he's just trying to do the deed. That's what you remembered.
Hey, Matt. You know that girl Janine?
Yeah, Janine, yeah.
Yeah, so we had our first date last week, remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, how'd that go?
It was okay, we went to a movie, not the best idea because you don't talk during it, but afterwards, we went out and got some coffee, that was nice.
Oh.
And then I kissed her goodnight, and she pushed on my, on my butthole really hard. I mean, through
in
my...
In the middle of kissing?
Yeah, through my pants, and I like her. And
to do it really hard, and she's a small woman, she would have really had to get that arm around there.
Yeah. I mean, I had loose pants, so the pants went right up to the butthole. I wish I would have had really top pants that sort of
Yeah, would have sprung that away.
Yeah, but, you know, I had baggy jeans on, and she was able to get... I mean, I had my underwear and my jeans between my finger, her finger...
I know what's happening. You don't have to describe it anymore.
But anyway, I'm kind of torn because
it wasn't soft. It was hard.
It kind of felt like it kind of felt a little violated. But I enjoyed kissing her, and I had a really good time talking with her. And I just don't know about a second date.
Well, you said it was one push, and it was really hard. It wasn't soft pushes.
We kissed for a while, and she pushed on my butthole during the whole kiss.
Okay, that's probably because you never activated.
What?
Do you ever have a button, like on a computer, that's gotten some juice spilt on it and it's stuck down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had two of my letter keys had that.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a bowl full of cereal with milk and the milk got in there.
Okay. She was trying to activate you and I guess she thought your button was off because you never activated. She was trying to make your boner pop out.
I had an erection when I was kissing her.
Oh, you did?
Sure. She's an attractive girl.
We cut to her with her friend. Candace, it was just so confusing because his pants were so baggy, I couldn't tell if he activated. So I think I might have pressed it for too long.
So you definitely got to the button easier, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, there was an excess of fabric between my finger and the button.
Right.
But then I couldn't tell if he activated because his pants were too darn baggy.
Oh, so it was easier to push the button, but harder to tell if his boner was on.
I know, and now I...
Matt, I wore tight pants.
Yeah?
It just made her more determined to get to my butthole. She pushed on it so hard to get there. I don't
Did
even...
Did she reach it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I was
She must have had to get behind you and have a running start.
She was all sweaty after it because from exerting herself. And I was kind of struggling to get away.
I feel like I tried too hard this time.
Did you see the boner this time?
Yeah, but it was so smushed down in his super tight pants. So then I thought, does this count? I'm looking for a clear flag up in the air.
You got to buy him some pants.
Is that too pushy? We've only been on two dates.
Hey, Matt, I'm kind of freaked out.
Why?
So we had our third date, which I was already hesitant to have. And she comes out right out of the gate with a pair of jeans for me. And she
like
says,
as a
well,
gift for the date?
That's funny you should say that. Because the gift would have been one thing, but yes, for the date. She insisted I go change. So I went in her house, I changed, And she kisses me.
Uh-huh.
And she just, boom, really quick, like a staccato little pump on my a-hole. And I got to admit,
it worked.
I got an erection from it.
I told you it worked.
Oh my gosh, joggers are the answer.
And scene. Humans, I said it before, I'll say it again. We all have interests. We all have the things we're into, whether it's a career or just a hobby. Or just our own personality, a way to express ourselves. And what better way to do it than getting a Squarespace site? Every week, I have someone submit a Squarespace site. That happened again this week. Guys, don't submit it to my at Matt Besser because that gets lost in the stream. Maybe go to adair@uprightcitizens.org. Is that it? Anyway, mattbesser.com has my email. It's better to email me your Squarespace site. Then I don't lose track of it because it gets lost in the Twitter stream. But folks, it's happening all the time. Humans are using Squarespace to do what they want to get done. And it's easy with their templates. It's stuff that a fuddy-duddy like me can handle. It's easy to install. 24/7 customer support. And Humans, they support Improper Humans. So why not support them when you're going to get your website, squarespace.com. Offer code IMPROV to get 10% off your first purchase plus a free domain. That's IMPROV. IMPROV for 10% off your first purchase. You got to use the word improv so they know Maddie B sent you from Improv for Humans. Squarespace, make your next move. Make your next website. Humans, today's episode is brought to you by HBO's new show, Crashing, starring Pete Holmes as Pete, sheltered suburbanite who married his childhood sweetheart, dreams of making it as a stand-up comedian. But when he finds out his wife has cheated on him, Pete Holmes' world unravels, man. You guys know Pete. He's a funny stand-up. He's from the New York comedy scene. Judd's got together with him. Who else is on this? Artie Lang, Lauren Lapkus, TJ Miller, Sarah Silverman, Hannibal, they're all there. Crashing is the name of the show. Premieres Sundays at 10:30 p.m. on HBO. There you go. This side of the audience, give us a word, please.
Comb-over.
Take your time.
So we just
took like a minute to say comb over.
We got comb over.
Do you think he was going to say comb and then he decided, no, that's not enough. Over.
I think he was feeling the mid-regret of a Trump-related suggestion. Comb, oh, dang it, over.
What do you take from that, guys? Jessica, you've never had a comb over.
No, I haven't had a comb over. I don't really comb my hair that much in general.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of curly, so you just, you don't want to.
Just let it go.
Just let it go.
Yeah.
Wild.
Me too. Comb over, there's no reason for it anymore, right? Because it's cool to be bald, right?
Yeah.
Or there's so many different procedures not to be bald. Yeah, comb over does seem odd, although I still see it.
Procedures that worked? Are there ones that work now?
I think so.
Anybody want to tell us?
Well, they got implant, right? They take hair from the back. And yeah.
I think Jeremy Piven's looks pretty good.
Hmm. Yeah, no.
Is it?
Yeah. No, well, no, I'm almost positive it's implants. Have you read that somewhere that he wears a hairpiece?
I used to work for like a hair replacement company, and that was like one of our idols.
This woman said that she's worked for a hair replacement company. I don't even know what that is. Hair replacement company?
Like Hair Club for Men.
So I worked for the company that made the wigs and toupees and we sold them to places.
Uh-huh.
So guys come in like once a month to get their like hair piece redone.
To get their hair piece
redone. If they wear out redone? That quickly, you're not making good hair pieces. I don't want to come in. That's like a... Can you imagine if I had to get my car tuned up every month?
We go into the hair piece place. I know it wasn't... I was in here a week ago, but you need to make it look like it's growing, right? Otherwise, people are going to know. It's just weird.
No, you just, you go and you go to the haircut place. You go often. You go all the time. always be seen there. Make sure you know when your friend shops at the shopping mall, and you go in, walk in.
And I'm always coming out of it or something?
Coming out, coming in. You'll go love haircuts now. Then you know.
What are they going to think about me at the haircut place, though?
Who cares? These are peasants. Who cares? Cosmetologists thought it did.
Sir, do you want a haircut?
I'm just browsing right now. Just looking at everybody's head, seeing what I want.
Okay, because we have some chairs open.
Okay, but do I have to get a haircut if I sit in a chair?
Yeah. I mean, you can also get a dye or a style. Do you want a blowout?
Oh, definitely not.
Okay.
That sounds like a fetishist.
You think?
He just wanted to sit in the chair and have you make believe you were cutting his hair?
Well, he said he didn't even need a person. He just wanted to be seen in a chair, took a photo of himself in the chair, and then walked out and yelled, "I love haircuts."
That's basically the haircut equivalent of a golden shower.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's weird.
I mean,
cut to that guy coming out of that haircut. I love haircuts! Oh, hey, man.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, worked around here.
What do you mean?
Oh yeah.
You asked me the other day. You said, "Where do you work?" I told you I work over there at the Fairfield Mall.
Oh yeah, I did ask that.
Yeah.
Oh, right across this haircut. Oh man, I just got a great haircut. I love them.
You didn't look like you needed one, and it doesn't look any different.
Thank you. That
wasn't a compliment. I'm confused. I mean, you said you just got a haircut. I saw you a couple days ago. Your hair looked just like this.
Right, perfect.
If you got a haircut.
Exactly. I'm really into my hair and haircuts. I like the process. I like the ritual of it, you know.
No, I don't do that.
You know, hey, sit down in the chair. Hey, let me put this around your neck.
Oh,
hey.
Wait, I think I read about this in Cosmo. Okay.
Wait,
no, okay, what? Okay, okay. Okay, nah, you're good. I'm not going to tell anybody.
What?
You're like,
you think I'm a fetishist?
Yeah, you got one of those haircut fetishes.
We cut back to the haircut place. Now he thinks I'm a haircut fetishist.
Irene, can I see you in back? There's a shampoo bottle that's broken.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, my God, why is he here?
I don't know. I thought he was sort of harmless. I liked him shouting, "I love haircuts." I felt like that brought more people in.
This is weird. Go out there. Be careful.
Hey, I do want a haircut for the first time.
In your life?
No, since I've been coming in here.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Go ahead and sit down.
Okay. Just be gentle and don't go too fast.
Okay. What's up?
It's not real hair. It's a hairpiece.
It's okay.
But can you cut it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Don't ruin it.
No. I'll trim up the back.
Oh.
Yeah. You should just come in and say, "Can you just trim up the back? You have some of your real hair."
Oh.
You said
right.
Yeah.
Just trim up the back.
Instead, you've let people think you're.
We cut to the next week. Hey, just trim up the back.
Okay, this is still too often.
And scene. See, we learned something today. Do you still work there, ma'am?
No, thank God.
Oh, thank God. But Piven was your guy's idol. He had the perfect hairpiece. And Travolta. I feel like
Never
you're outing
knew
people.
Knew about Travolta.
His edges seem a little extreme, though. Little
pictures of him on vacation when he's not wearing.
Are those public? If I look on the internet, can I find bald Travolta? Really? I'm interested in that.
You picture him as like one of those monk head, bald heads?
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of fun.
Ba, 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 barino. Do you guys remember that?
I do.
That's before your time, Jessica. Yeah. What was your first Travolta experience?
Greece.
Oh, that's pretty far back.
Yeah.
Because I think all I did before that was Saturday Night Fever.
I didn't see like Grease in the theater. My sister and I used to watch it after earthquakes.
You're definitely going to explain that one.
I grew up in Southern California. There were enough earthquakes that we could have traditions, which were getting donuts and Kathleen and I watching Grease from underneath the coffee table in case there were aftershocks.
That's so specific.
Yeah.
So was it just that one of the first earthquakes you ever experienced, you happened to watch Grease after it?
I think donuts definitely happened first. It was like, nobody does anything anymore. You're watching the news to see how big it was. You know, it just sort of like stops the day. So it's
can
like,
I tell you, in California, I think that's unusual. I think earthquakes...
Well,
just...
I'm really only thinking of like probably three, but that's enough to establish a pattern. You know,
sure.
So and culminating with Northridge.
You know, I have experienced multiple earthquakes.
Did you get extra donuts on that day, Northridge?
Oh, yeah. That was like... In my mind, we didn't go to school for a week. I'm sure that's not true. Everyone's like, and now it's fine. But that was obviously the biggest one I remember.
I have never recognized that I've experienced an earthquake while it's happened. The first time I was out for pilot season, I was renting an apartment, and I said, God, that must have been a huge truck. The whole house shook. And Katie said, Ian, that was an earthquake. The next time I was over at my writing partner's, he had a place over his garage where we wrote a few times. And there was an earthquake, and the dog got freaked out by it and ran up the stairs. And I said, God damn, that dog ran up the stairs so fast he shook the house. So I'm a complete idiot as far as earthquakes. I'm never knowing that I'm experiencing them.
We cut to an audition as an earthquake happens. And cut. And cut. Stop it. Stop moving. And cut.
Okay. Yes. Sorry.
Cut.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
Cut.
I'm...
Finally. Thank you.
That was... It's aftershock, just so you know.
Excuse me?
I was trying to do aftershock. So, in the reality of an earthquake, even if you yelled cut, so that could still shake because of an aftershock. Going the extra mile, and I will do that if you cast me.
Okay, sir. You mm-hmm. That is the best performance of victim number three in earthquake that we've had today.
Thank you.
But like I said, you have to stop. We can't have method acting on the set. Is that what you were doing?
Well, I don't know. Just trying to, yeah, just trying to be real.
Okay. Can we do it again?
So there's no aftershock. This is a new kind of earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's an explosion mistaken for an earthquake?
You mean after the earthquake happened? This is an earthquake movie. It's called Earthquake 2.
Then there are... Okay, then I don't...
You mean like a gas station blew up after the earthquake?
I'll do what you want. When a director gets involved, he's going to do research. He's going to know about aftershocks, but I'll do what you want. So it's a make-believe. It's just... It's more like an explosion is what you want me to do. It's going to be real quick. The earth's going to shake, and then
to be honest, I'm really looking for a line read and how you act your lines, and you're really getting into how your body shakes.
I don't want to have an argument because I'm trying to get the role, but I'm okay. Just... But you're...
Okay, your line is, what is that? What's going on? Oh, my God, this is an earthquake.
The line is irrelevant. Look, can I tell you something? They're not going to have, like, some giant stage on a gimbal and shake it. I'm going to have to shake myself. It's going to be like Star Trek. And that can either look good or it can look bad. I can make it look amazing. I can perfectly simulate.
You look like a fish on the bottom of a boat right now.
Yep.
Yeah, flopping around.
You ever been in an earthquake? It's like being in... the people seems like you're with about 1,000 fish. If you get 1,000 people around you during earthquake, you feel like somebody just dumped out a net of fish on the ground. I didn't come in here cold.
Okay,
I've
do
done
what
my
you
research.
Want, but I just need you to do the lines this
I'm
time.
Never, I'm never... Well,
it's not about the shaking around.
Tell me the line, but I'm not concerned about it.
Oh, my God. What's happening? What's happening right now? Oh, my God. I think this is an earthquake. Okay.
Can I not say the last part?
Well, because that's the titular line
I understand,
of the movie.
I understand that. The only thing is, if you want me to... You... Just let me clarify this. There are no aftershocks.
Motherfucker, we're probably going to be cutting to another
scene. Why are you yelling? Why are we yelling at each other? You love my performance. I'm this close to getting it. I'm trying to give you what you want. Now, either I can do aftershocks and I'll include the earthquake part of the line, or I need to lose that because it is not an earthquake. It's something else. I don't know what it is.
Okay, do your goddamn aftershocks.
Maybe it's a meteor. It's a... Oh.
Just do them, okay?
Fantastic.
But I need the full line.
All right, give me the line one more time.
If you looked at your lines, it's only three lines.
I spent all the time researching how to look like I'm in an earthquake.
And when you leave, take all this debris with you, by the way.
You're the only one who brought your own debris.
All right. What's going on?
What's going
oh,
on?
My God.
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
Oh, my God. What's happening?
Oh, my God. I think it's an earthquake.
Well, you know it is. You said I can do the aftershocks, right?
Yes.
It's an earthquake. So I'll just say I know it's an earthquake.
All right. Let's just see it. Change it in post.
You know what? I'm going to focus mostly action. On that, actually. I know it's an earthquake.
Oh,
I know
hey,
it.
Hey.
I know it's an earthquake.
Hey.
Look at me. I'm still shaky. That's aftershock. I know it's an earthquake. It can't just be a meteor or a terrorist explosion. It's an earthquake. I'm still shaking. I'm still shaking. It's an earthquake. I know it.
For this scene, we want that moment that every... There's some people who don't know when an earthquake's happening. Those people, I would say majority at first, don't know. There's
at
a
first.
Moment of what's happening here.
Right, of course, at first.
But you yelled right away, there's an earthquake happening, I'm positive.
I didn't do it right away. I was shaking while you were still giving me the line. So I had started the earthquake while you were giving me my instructions. By the time I did my lines, I was experiencing aftershock.
Are you starting an earthquake right now for the next take?
Go. I'm ready to go. I can't wait. Start now. Forget it. I'm going. This is an earthquake. It's definitely an earthquake. I'm in the aftershocks.
Insane. Oh, man. I never turned on the camera. All right. In the back, let's get a suggestion.
Skateboard.
Did you say skateboard? That's a very San Francisco suggestion. I have a half brother from San Francisco who was in he was in this, this is back in the 70s, but he was into skateboarding. Remember when they used to be little? It was to look like a boot or whatever. They're much thicker and bigger now.
Yeah,
he used to have one of those small ones. But he'd always he came from San Francisco.
That brother?
No, we had a big fight. We had a big fight.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he insulted my dad. That was the end of that. Oh, let me tell that story.
Was it before or after he died?
It was after. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not going to go well.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to get into that.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Ugly.
I was
like, is there anything interesting about that? I don't think so.
No, just a fight. But, yeah, I do remember. Well, I remember... yeah, I remember kids that had skateboards, and it was just flipping up the front of it was about as big as the tricks got, as far as I recall.
I was into just sitting on it and going down the driveway. Or the one that looks like it could be the beginning of a trick, and it's probably like a fundamental skill for a trick where you put your feet on the edge and you walk like, you know, like an army man.
Uh-huh.
This is an audio medium, but yeah, I'm walking like an army man with my fingers.
Yeah, if you saw her fingers, it would be really clear what she was trying to tell you she did with the skateboard.
We cut to some military around a map. All right, privates, before we get into basic training, we're going to show you how to be a soldier.
All right, everybody get your fingers. Get your fingers up on the deck. Get your fingers. Two fingers. Straighten up, soldier. Straighten up those knuckles. Thumb tucked in. Smack. Tuck that thumb in.
Sir, are the fingers meant to represent us, sir?
Yes. Those are your legs, Private.
Sir, might it be easier if we just got on our feet and actually experienced this?
Oh, maybe I should just shoot you so you can experience that right away, too. Maybe I should run over your skull with the tank so you know what that's like. No, we don't jump into everything right away. We start with finger training.
Sir?
Tuck that thumb.
I hope we're never going to get to train for those things you just explained. I don't want to learn how to get run over by a...
Sir, permission to speak?
Granted.
My middle finger is longer than my pointer, and that's the most organic position for my feet, but wouldn't my pointer and my ring actually be more like my feet?
Oh, then you got a big old swinging dick you got to chuck back in there while you're running around, huh? Well, I don't think so.
It could be
you
a tail
know why
for
that does...
balance.
What's that?
It could be a tail for balance.
But you don't have a tail for balance.
But like a kangaroo, sir, like how a kangaroo uses its tail for balance.
Hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't poo-poo this idea. We could design exoskeletons to put on all soldiers so that they could have a kangaroo tail for balance.
They are natural fighters, sir. They're always ready to box.
That is true.
Run this idea by me again, Sergeant.
Well, I was getting really harsh with my privates. You know how I like to do. Straighten up. Tuck that thumb in.
Are you still teaching them using their hands?
Yeah.
That's not approved, you understand.
All right, but I like to ease them into it. Anyway, it was pointed out to me that soldiers don't have anything for balance. What if we had an exoskeleton tail like a kangaroo? You know how they like to box. And then we started spitballing, and we thought, why not have a little pouch for a little midget soldier up front? He can jump out and surprise the enemy.
They've always been able to avoid service. I like getting those midgets involved.
Yeah, my master blaster plan from last year never took off.
We just couldn't find stupid enough large soldiers to be ridden.
And scene. Little Thunderdome reference for you folks. That may be my favorite movie. Let's get another suggestion from up front. Okay. It wasn't up front, but the way he said jockstrap, I'm going to honor him.
He also sort of pointed to the sides, like, over there, you can get some jockstraps.
Yeah, he did seem to have a locale in mind. Yeah.
Jockstraps! $3 for $1.
Hey, mister?
Yep?
I told you this is my turf. Stop competing with my lemonade stand with your jockstrap stand.
I don't see how they compete.
Oh, sure. It's a nice, beautiful day, and people say, oh, I'm going to support this kid and their entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, buy some lemonade. And then they think, no, I shouldn't have that sugar. Instead, I should be working on my body and doing athletics. And then they go over to you and buy a dang jockstrap.
Well, look at you two. This is what I like, entrepreneurship. Well, I've got $1, and I'm thirsty.
Oh.
I'm going to let you both vie for my business.
Oh, well, mister.
Let's see which one of you can convince me to part with my dollar.
Nothing quenches your thirst on a warm day like this, like a cool glass of lemonade.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Hold on. But nobody wants to give you lemonade if one of your nuts is falling out of your shorts.
Well?
Nobody wants to even talk to you with a big old nasty ball popping out.
A truer statement has never been spoken. Young lady, do you have a counterpoint?
Well, sir, I think he's trying to shame you into buying that jockstrap, and I'm happy to sell you this lemonade jockstrap or no. I'm not worried about your shorts. I'm making eye contact and nothing else.
Well, yeah. I appreciate you not looking at the ball I apparently have hanging out.
Well, if you buy our lemonade, people are also going to think you bought a chewed piece of gum that you're keeping on the middle of your leg.
Because
that's your nuts hanging out looking dumb.
Young lady, I've got a mighty powerful thirst, but I got to think long term. I'm going to go ahead and get that nut tucked in, and then I'll probably be offered just as much lemonade as I can drink down by the young ladies in this town. I'll take a jockstrap.
All right. It's $3 for $1.
There you go.
Okay. And set up a little changing room right here next to the lemonade stand.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, look at you two. Oh, we got two entrepreneurs, don't we?
Howdy, ma'am.
Well, how do you do? Well, I have a mighty powerful thirst, but I don't want to be unfair. Now, which one of you is going to win my business?
Well, ma'am, I think it's pretty obvious that you have need for lemonade on this hot day to quench your thirst, and that for you to own a jockstrap, you'd have to give it
jockstrap?
Away.
Jockstrap? I'm selling nipple jockeys.
No!
Oh, a nipple. Why, I could use that. I have a nipple that keeps popping out.
That's right. You can't trust bras anymore. Well, nipples try to escape. You need a little nipple jockey on here.
It's one of those Victoria's Secret bras that doesn't cover the whole thing, and the nipple just keeps on popping out.
Ma'am.
But I don't understand how that's going to quench my thirst, young man.
Ma'am, please. Please, don't fall prey to that line of thinking. Let's talk about the pink elephant in the room. Free the nipple.
And scene. Back to that pink elephant. So pink elephants are what you see when you're drunk, right? That's where that comes from.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes that Winnie the Pooh cartoon pretty weird.
Yeah.
I don't remember a pink
Huffalumps
elephant.
And Heffalumps. They're basically just like pink elephants, and So they're saying Pooh was drunk?
I think there is some saying about don't think of pink elephants. Is that something? You know, where it says if you tell someone not to do something, you actually make it more likely because now it's on their mind. Someone can look that up on the internets for us.
No one's doing that right now for some reason. I don't know what you mean, though.
Oh, it's something like, I think there might be some expression where they use pink elephants to say, like, don't think of pink elephants to make the point that if you tell someone not to do something, now you've actually, like with a kid, you know, when you say don't, now the kid all he's thinking about is that thing. You.
Ironic process theory, or the white bear problem, occurs to the psychological process whereby deliberate attempts to suppress certain thoughts make them more likely to surface. Example is how when someone is actively trying not to think of a white bear, they may actually be more likely to imagine one.
Okay, what happened? I got to tell the listening, the
said,
podcast audience. Yeah. So there was a big, long silence there while we listened to someone read about a theory called...
White bear.
Ironic
process theory. Ironic process theory. They chose to use a white bear instead of a pink elephant, but they said that if you tell someone not to think of a white bear, they are now most likely going to think about a white bear. There was a really good Cheech and Chong joke in a movie where they... They told the guy right before walking in not to look at the guy's scar, and the guy had a horrendous scar across his face. And he was a really...
That's a classic comedy right there. Yeah.
He was a really angry, scary guy.
Okay. Ian, Jessica's really nice, my friend I'm always talking about.
Yeah.
She's about to come over.
Oh, cool.
She has a nipple right in the middle of her, it's above her nose, right in the middle of her eyes. You know how they have stray third nipples sometimes?
Usually in the chest.
I know. Usually.
You're serious?
Yeah. It's just right in the middle. It looks like a mole if you don't focus on it.
Oh, okay.
Just don't get her worked up.
What do you mean?
If you get her excited about anything, it'll pop out. Just don't stare at it and just don't get her.
Hey, I might take off.
Come on, man. We've got to see the Game of Thrones finale.
All right.
Oh, here she is. Hey, Jessica.
Oh, hi. I brought Baba Ganoush.
Oh, thanks. Smells great.
It's okay.
This is Ian. Okay. This is Jessica.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Ready for GOT? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
GOT.
Hey, are you going to sit right on the side of the TV like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, I have a weird stigmatism where I have to look at it sideways, so I'm sorry. As you watch the TV, you'll be staring basically at me. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to see if I'm a candidate for LASIK, but...
Back in the kitchen. Dude, I told you... Not to look at it.
She's sitting in profile by the side of the TV. And it goes down, it goes forehead, a nipple bump, nose bump, little lip bump, chin bump. And it's weird. It's too many bumps, and I can't stop looking at it.
Her silhouette is throwing you off?
Yes. Yes. And I'm trying to be polite. I don't want to stare. And there's a lot of weird stuff in Game of Thrones.
All right,
but I'm telling you, she's overpowering the show.
Let's just talk about the pink elephant in the room with her, okay? You know that expression?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kinda.
It's definitely exactly that.
Kinda.
Hey, Jess.
Hey. You guys ready
Ian's
to start?
Ian's freaked out by your nipple.
Oh no!
That's a very rude and blunt way to put it.
Oh no!
No! Oh look!
Oh no!
Oh boy! Hey!
Oh,
boy. Oh, now look at
that unicorn. Oh, you thought it was bad before. Look out. Whoa. Whoa.
Hey.
Whoa.
Jess, stop swinging around.
Sorry, but geez, are you kidding me? You let this guy get me so worked up.
Stop swinging your head. Oh, come on. You hit the screen.
Oh. You broke the screen.
It hurt me more than it hurt you.
And scene. That was awful. What happened to that woman? Up front row suggestion, please. Trump, really? We're going to go there.
You know, so we just got the suggestion, Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, to me, it stymies me because it's
so
limitless.
Much to say. Yeah.
It's almost.
I got somewhere to start.
Okay.
What is anyone here? I asked going to the march. What sign are you bringing? Let's start with what's on your sign, if you have one. Any signs here? Any signs you saw on the news that you liked?
I'm not normally a sign guy, but geez.
Yeah, I saw that one. That's funny. I'm not normally a sign guy, but geez, one guy had. I saw that yesterday.
My cousin had a sign that said, "Free Melania."
Free Melania. How do you think she feels? Do you think she's into this? Or she's like, I just wanted to be a rich lady, not a first lady.
I'm a little worried that she's sort of like trapped. I worry for her. She seems stuck.
What do you mean by that for real, though?
Like, she does, I feel like she looks sad and scared. You know, I don't...
Over her head?
Yeah, like, I don't get... I don't feel like she's...
Yeah, that could be weird, because as the wife of just a rich guy, I think you could... You could just be in the background.
Yeah.
You absolutely can't. You're expected... She'll have to pick an issue. She has to pick something that she has to...
Oh, and look who she's following.
What is she doing?
Cyberbullying.
Well, why do you think that's bad? Because it's limited? It's not.
Because she's been cyberbullied.
Because her husband is the biggest cyberbully in the world.
Oh. Okay.
Let's cut to Melania giving her first speech on cyberbullying. Is that a pimp? Oh, no.
Oh no. Hello? There are so many of you looking at me. Okay, hello. Here's what I'd like to say. The internets are so big and scary. Let us all work to make them less scary and maybe less big. There's so much room. But have you ever been to...
First Lady, how can the internet be less big?
Okay, well, you know, we could just say, hey, nobody go outside of this chat room. And, you know, you go to a party, if it's a small party, everyone has to be polite because there's nowhere to hide. But at, like, a big party, you could go lots of places. So maybe if we had the internet so small, people would have to be so nice. Because we'd all be there in a very tiny chat room.
First Lady, what do you find most scary about cyberbullying?
It's very scary to me because it's very anonymous, and you can steal thoughts that are not your own or be validated for thoughts that are very fringe, and suddenly you have a voice for it. And also, there are scary photos.
Madam First Lady,
yes?
You're basically describing your husband's behavior.
No. No.
Yes, well, you are.
Because... I'm talking about internets, and he is on Twitter. And that, as far as I can tell, is mostly on phones. He always does it from a phone. We do not even have a desktop.
First Lady.
I'm so sorry. You are fake news. You can still ask me your question, but... I will answer like this. Oh, okay, I'm answering this question. Just that, it will all be in quotes.
Well, then I put it to you. Give us an example of the time that you've been cyberbullied.
There was a time where people said that my shirt that I wore to a debate was a pussy bow shirt, and that they said I was subtly...
A pussy bow or a placebo?
Please define pussy bow shirt.
It was the name of the blouse. Everybody here likes big statement blouses. I think that's something that we can all agree on. And this was a
we
big...
We cut to her closet with her advisors as she looks at her clothes. They're going to make a big statement for the next press conference.
This blouse says, hey.
I don't think that's enough of a statement. That's more like a greeting when you walk into a room.
But honestly, that's all I want to say. I'm very upset that I have to say anything more than, hi, I'm here.
And scene. I bet that's true. I think you just nailed it. She just wants to say, hi, I'm here. Another suggestion from the very back. Did you say poetry? Is that what he said?
Yeah, poetry.
My dad claims that he saw Howl, the poem Howl, read at City Lights Bookstore. Isn't that just around the corner? By the man, Ginsberg. He said he saw that happen.
Wait, so say it again?
He saw the poem Howl, which maybe is the biggest poem out of the Beat Generation. Yeah. He saw it read at City Lights Bookstore. That's just like all the Beat Generation archetypes in one.
It wasn't read there.
It wasn't?
It was read at the Hungry
Eye. You fuck, you asshole.
This is how he
you
ended
insulted
up
his father.
Disowning his brother.
You're going to tell me it was only read once? Oh, I didn't say he got arrested at that reading. Okay, yeah, you're right. The Hungry Eye, I just drove by that. That's the strip club that Lenny Bruce started out in, one of them, which it's amazing it's still around. Do they do full stripping there? Is it like a real strip club, or is it like kind of a burlesque nostalgia thing?
It just rips off sailors.
Rips off sailors? That seems like nostalgia. Stupid drunken sailors.
They go there and they get shanghaied. Man, yeah. Serving in the English white. Navy.
No one here's been to Hungry Eye? Yeah? What's it like? I like the way that guy, that same guy said jockstrap. Jockstrap. Topless. Saying it's topless, that says what it's not more than what it is, doesn't it? Isn't that interesting? So, guys, I think this strip club's only topless. You guys want to get out of here?
No, wait. I heard something. I heard this great deal where if we pay $100, we can get more than topless. But we'll just pool our money. Just pool it.
If we pool our money, they give us more than topless?
Yeah.
Do we have to give it to them or just pool it?
No, we got to pool it, give it to them.
Oh,
wait,
so it's
for
not just accumulate $100 between the three of us. We got to give it away.
No, it's not like a show of wealth. We have to give it to them.
It's not like refinancing?
No, you guys. Come on, it's our...
What if I went out there and got the title of my car and I showed them that?
That might be impressive, but that's not going to get us.
We got to give them money at the end of the day.
Yeah, end of the day,
half.
Well, they didn't say. They just said for $100, more than topless.
More than topless.
Yeah,
that could be so many things.
Well,
yeah, they could come out on mini bikes or something. I want them to take their bottoms off.
Honestly, though, I'd like to see them on mini bikes.
I would like that too.
Now that you said it, I can't stop thinking about mini bikes. Actually, do you think we could just leave here and go get mini bikes?
I want to see them on top of a white bear.
Oh.
Now I can't stop seeing that. Okay, look, let's get $100 and find out what
where the mini bikes are. Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay. You really got fixated on the mini bikes.
Stop saying it.
So they pull their $100 together. We see them in a back room with the stripper.
The stripper wheels out a big box with a sheet covering it.
Please be a mini bike. Please be a mini bike.
She pulls the sheet, and sure enough, inside there is a white bear on a mini bike. You like this, huh?
Oh, this is perfect. Oh, yes.
Oh, let me see. Oh, no.
What?
There's no gas in the minibus.
Oh, Clark, go get the title for your car.
And scene. I start out doing stand-up in strip clubs, too, actually.
I didn't know that, the strip club part.
The very first, I think I might even said this on this very podcast, but... It was called the Bus Stop in Colorado, right outside of Boulder.
Was it Bust Stop?
Yeah, it was a joke.
Gotcha.
And they had comedy on Sundays because at that point they had blue laws. I don't know if they still do, but you couldn't do stripping on Sundays at that point. And but a lot of the guys who came in there were Hispanic day laborers who didn't speak English, and they didn't get that message when they came into the club that that's what night it was. And this happened a lot. And I was always the first person out because I was just beginning, that I would get introduced and come out and just see a sea of Hispanic faces being disappointed that I wasn't a stripper.
Hey, I just want to tell one more story because it's a personal one we have. Our first theater, the Upright Citizens Brigade's first theater in New York City, was a former strip club. It was like a lap dance club. And we took it over as a theater, and there were, and my wife was the first employee we ever had. And she did everything, including sit in the box office and take reservations. And these guys would come in, and they would walk past her and go stand at the edge of the dark theater, because it's the middle of the day, there's no shows going on, and just look curiously, and then come back and kind of hover around the box office. She goes, "Hey, can I help you?" "Yeah. What's going on here?" "We're a comedy theater." "Oh!" And then the guys would always act interested because they didn't want to, now that there was the woman that was working at a comedy theater, not a burlesque, you know, not a strip joint. They'd say, "Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, what else?" They'd take four or five flyers, you know, like they were going to come see comedy shows.
We cut to a new bank.
"Hi. There's a fiver."
"Okay, do you want some change? You want to make a deposit?"
"No, just, that's $5. The window's already up, I see. But is it broken?" "But I'm, let's be fair, $5, I know
you want,
it's got to be
want,
money
this,
first.
You want some foreign currency for this? I don't understand."
"Yeah, yeah, show me a little bit of that foreign. A little bit of that strange, a foreign, a different word for strange, foreign."
"I don't want to call foreigners strange, sir. Just what? Where are you going? I need to know what country."
"I don't know. Where are we going? Where are we going? Uptown, downtown."
"You just want any foreign currency?"
"Yeah."
"Okay. I'll give you pesos for this fiver. How about that?"
"Yeah, I like it Mexican."
"Just want pesos."
"So you're going to go get the Mexican or..."
"Actually, yes, the taste, we don't keep those here. I have to go in the back."
"Ha, okay. All right. But the meter's not ticking yet."
"No, we don't charge by how much time we work with you."
"So what happens then? $5
and..." "You don't
and...
pay back. If you mostly fees is how we get you these days."
Gotcha. "No, I've been there, yeah."
"Yeah.
Yeah. I want you to reach under the glass. Ba-boom, boom. Another fiver."
"I don't know what that means."
"I want you to take care of yourself. Give yourself a little vacation. Another fiver."
"Oh, we don't
take
tips.
You take care of yourself."
"No,
what? You don't take tips?
Don't take
love
tips.
It. But we still get full service."
"Yeah."
"Ha-ha!
Okay, sir. I'm going to go get the pace.
You know,
I need a
I'm
bank
glad
manager.
This place is under new management. Ding, ding. This is better than I remember."
"You need some help?"
"Yeah, he needs some foreign currency."
"Ah, hello, senorita."
"Hello?"
"Thank you. That got sexy. Wow. Okay, another suggestion, please."
Mousetrap.
I got a little mousetrap story. It's not that funny. But, they did construction on my building in New York, and they took a whole, like, a side off. No, I think I might be exaggerating, but I'll take a side off. But they did a bunch of work, and it either opened up the place so it let mice in, or it shook up the mice that were in the wall, and so they started going all over the place. But suddenly I had mice in my apartment. So first of all, the maintenance guy came in. "Does anybody know, what do you do if mice keep getting in your apartment? Has anyone had this? You put steel wool in any holes that are there. It's the only thing that does it, because they won't chew on steel wool." So they plugged all the holes with steel wool. But while I had mice, my vegetarian, animal-loving, good friend came to stay with me.
Beowulf?
No, it was Vicky Tarvis.
Okay.
And she said, "Oh, you should get Trap and Release and go take him to the park." I'm like, I am never going to get a mouse and walk him out to Central Park. It was so crazy. And I said, no, I'm sorry. I just got mouse traps. And I tried to explain to her. I said, I think that's just in keeping with nature. Like, this is my territory. Animals kill other animals. If some animal tried to come into their den, they'd attack them and say, get out of my den. So I feel okay about this. But while she was staying there, a trap sprung. And this thing just starts screaming because it doesn't kill him. So I said, Vicky, I got to do something right now because it's the humane thing to do. And I had to go step on it and break his neck. And to have someone that's a super animal lover, like she scooped up like raccoons in pizza boxes and brought them to veterinarians and said, this raccoon got hit by a car. You've got to try to heal him, you know? And so, yeah, it was a very, very traumatic experience for my good friend.
I'm sorry, Jess, I know how you feel about these things, but you can hear it needs to be put out of its misery.
No, we can save him.
No, I have to smash it with a combat boot.
No! No, just give me...
I gotta put on my old mosh pit combat boots and stomp on it.
That's necessary. Give me 5 minutes and I'll make it a little neck brace out of toothpicks and toothpaste that'll slowly deteriorate as it heals and we can go to the park and release him. Please don't.
Don't you know those mice that go to the park? They just work their way back into people's apartments anyway. I just gotta do the right thing. I gotta put on this old Nazi uniform from a play
no!
I did in high school.
Why do you have to put the full uniform on?
And put on these jack boots and stomp on it.
Jake, why do you have this whole Nazi uniform?
I was in a play. I was in Anne Frank in high school. The very final scene.
I'm sorry. That's a small part. Is that when you gave
holes
up?
In there? I hear you in there.
That's pretty good, but I can see. I wish I could see
I
it
think
in your...
there's an earthquake
Meanwhile,
happening.
Meanwhile, a conversation between a mouse in a trap and a mouse that's still free. It can't be that good, this performance, that it's worth killing yourself to see him put on this uniform.
It's amazing. His German accent is right on target.
I'm already pretty clamped down on you. If you just wiggled, you're dead.
We cut back to the man as he puts on his jack boots and he crushes, or he tries to crush the mouse's head. Stop. Oh, sweetie, it didn't work.
Oh, God. Well, now let's try. Now let's take it out, please.
Yeah, we do need to take it out. I need to put it under the car wheel.
No! Also, please take off that Nazi costume.
No, I need to put on Flight of the Valkyries and in my car and run over it.
That doesn't seem humane. It seems like embracing the worst sides of humanity. Please, please, I'll give it mouth to mouth.
Outside the house. Hey, Fred, I see you got the Nazi uniform on. Mice problems?
Yeah. Final solution, you know. It's the only way to get rid of them. You want to get in the car while I crush it?
Yeah, I'll add a little weight to it.
Yeah.
Oh, are you guys hanging out? Just passing by. Thought I'd say I love haircuts.
And scene. Humans, I think we have time for one more. Let's get one more suggestion.
Golden showers.
Ooh. What'd you hear before golden showers?
Hospice.
Hospice. Yeah. Those are go hand in hand. Often. Hospice is very interesting. I don't know if you've ever dealt with that. Probably not. It's something you usually deal with your parents, unfortunately, which I did. But they give you all these... So hospice, if you don't know, is when you're ready, when it's just clear you're going to die, you go into hospice. And I guess it can be a place or you get a hospice nurse to come to your house like my dad did. And they give you... And they're basically saying you're basically saying next time you're going to die and it's time for you to die, you're going to die. We're not going to bring you back. So I'm not a nurse here to help you live. I'm here to help you pass away peacefully. So they give you all these choices of what you want. And one of the choices was, do you want a stringed instrument, like, and I think they had a couple of choices, like a harp or a cello, to come in as you're dying. That was on the checklist of things we were given.
Is that because so many people associate that with angels, like the playing of a harp?
This is also in Santa Fe, mind you, so maybe things are different there. Has anyone else heard of that? No?
Anything else on the...
There's a place around here in San Francisco where, like, a group of women, they're a choir, and they come and sing to you.
So we just got told that there's a choir that will come and sing to someone who's about to die here in San Francisco.
But I think my dad did not check
your
that
dad
box.
Seemed no nonsense guy. Like, yeah. Anything that was like weird. What are you talking about?
I would almost see him do that to them, heckle the harp player as he passes away.
Sir, I'm really just trying to play. I'm just trying to play.
Try a little harder.
Okay.
Hey, Frank, you check the box. You asked to have the cello player.
That's Freebird.
Okay.
Freebird.
I'm sorry. He's a little cranky today.
Give me my lighter. Fuck these oxygen tanks. Get me my lighter.
I'm not going to get your lighter, Frank.
I want to light my lighter.
Frank, I think you're going to try to light her cello on fire, and I'm not going to give you the lighter.
I was asking for an encore, you asshole.
Oh.
Freebird!
I don't know.
You can put on the light on my cell phone.
Okay, I guess that's what they're doing now.
I don't know, Freebird. I'm sorry.
What?
Just do what you normally do. Okay. Ignore him.
I'm as free as a bird now. In this bird you cannot change.
I'm sorry. Unfortunately, the illness he's dying of isn't debilitating. It'll just suddenly kill him. He's got complete energy. Yeah, he's...
Normally people call me an angel, and, you know, they sort of see me in a heavenly glow. This is...
He's played soccer with kids, and he just runs circles around them and trips them, and he's been a real pain.
What's happening here?
I mean, I'm trying...
Frank, it seems like you brought her here to give her a hard time. Don't be nasty. You're about to die. Don't you want to, you know, give a good impression when you go to heaven?
All right. I'll tell you what. If you play me a song that I like, I'll give a message to anyone you want up there.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really surprised that you're interested in this proposition.
Well, okay. Someone I left some things unsaid with, I'd love to. Okay.
Paradise.
Well, I thought heaven's kind of like a paradise city. And I hope...
Well, do you like that one, Frank? If you do, then she needs to give you her message and...
That was Paradise City. I got lost.
Yeah, it was the beginning, and then I strummed the harp.
Well, I'm more welcome to the jungle guy, but okay, what's your message?
Will you just do me a favor, and will you tell David Bowie I'm sorry I didn't buy all his albums?
Wow, that's how you're going to use this.
No, yeah, really... grandma or grandpa or
all
parents.
My grandparents are
I would almost guarantee you're not on his radar.
Well, I think that's really going to mean something to him, that I'm sorry I didn't have his full canon.
Well, what do you say, Frank?
Well, a promise is a promise. We cut to a long line outside of David Bowie's hut up in... hey, what are you waiting in line for? Can I get moving in front of you? I'm trying to talk to David.
We're all trying to talk to David Bowie.
Look, I'm not even a fan. I thought he was a little queerbo for my taste.
Hey!
I'm a Zeppelin guy.
The hell? Just go ahead, just to get you away from me. Go ahead.
Excuse me.
You can't cut in front of me.
I have a message from a little girl.
Well, I have a message from me when I was a little girl. Thanks for Labyrinth.
And see, humans. This has been Improv for Humans. You guys are so cool. Maybe I'll see you at the Mart. Jess, where can we find you on the internet so these people can talk to you and tell you how much they like you?
Jess R. McKenna on Twitter.
There you go. Just like that. Ian?
Currently, you can see the show that I show run, mm-hmm. Teachers, on mm-hmm. TV Land, Tuesdays at 10 p.m.
There you go. Where can they see your thing, Jess? Is that still up on?
Yeah, ABC.com, ABC Digital Platform. You can watch a web series I made with my writing partner called Serious Music.
Funny stuff. She's a very funny lady, guys. I want to plug something. I'm wearing our CISO hat. The UCB, we do so much stuff on CISO. We have the season 2 of something called the UCB Show. It's the best acts from our theater. It just came back. If you haven't been on CISO, they let you have it for a month, so why not try it out? My stand-up special's there. We got a documentary there. We got all sorts of stuff there.
Can I ask a question before we go? Is anybody here seen Teachers?
His sitcom?
A couple people. Good.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Whatever we can get.
Maybe they were just talking about their school days, though.
Yeah, the teacher, jockstrap.
Keep being human. Thank you.
Improv for Humans is holding a nationwide improv contest. Check out www.contestforimprovforhumans.com for details. Be a good human and subscribe to CISO.com today. Season 2 of the UCB Show is out now, featuring many Improv for Humans regulars. Music by Dragoon. This has been Improv for Humans.
Aha! It has worked! Now, gentle listener, you are enraptured by the voice of Usador the Wizard, for I have cast a spell upon thee that shall force you to listen to the ad at the end of this podcast.
Thank you, Usador. We're here to let you know that you should listen to our podcast, Hello from the Magic Tavern, a serious study of what it's like to be trapped in another dimension, although you might just think it's an improv comedy podcast.
Sorry, I'm late, guys. Here we go. If you're going to lay down, you might as well lay down on Casper
mattress. No, John, we're not doing that right now. We've only got a couple seconds to let listeners know about our podcast, where I interview wizards, unicorns,
and goblins, and wedding planners.
If you love fantasy stuff, you'll love this podcast. If you hate fantasy stuff, who the f*** are you kidding? You're not cool. What are you listening to? Oh, I'm a comedy nerd. I'm a better than a fantasy nerd. Mm-mm.
And now you are released from my spell. Return to your life and listen there again to the end of a podcast.
Hello from the Magic Tavern. Listen from the beginning or just jump into the most recent episode. You'll get it. It's not The Wire.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You want to see my collection of men corpses and one woman?
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos, ruler of the Eighth Circle.
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.